This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Spouting Off. It is Friday, May 28th, 2021, if you're listening live, and we have people listening on the K-Star Radio Network. Welcome to you all. And we are broadcasting on our Friday edition of Spouting Off on the BBS Radio Network. Thanks. I have a stand-in twin today. Don instead of Doug. The Newsom brothers have the coolest network, BBS Radio Network, and their voices sound almost identical, except that Don's voice is slightly lower. So it's good to have Don along for this edition of Spouting Off. So let me tell you what we've got on tap. We've got Steve Turley at the bottom of the hour, which is really going to be fun. Haven't talked to Steve in a long time. It was so interesting when I got Steve Turley for our show the last time, which has got to be, I don't know, last year sometime. People called me and said, "Wow, you got Steve Turley on the show? That's really cool." So, you know, you did the right thing when you've got a guest that people know, are familiar with, and has a following. In this first half an hour, I'm going to do some of my own spouting off. I've been on and off the radio all week, just finished a couple of hours for the Power Hour Radio Network. It's always fun when I go from one show to the next show without a break, except saying hello to the new producer. That's the way it's sometimes fun to do. But Spouting Off is always live call-in talk radio. You can call in Tuesdays and Thursdays, the Nashua, New Hampshire show, 1 p.m. Eastern, or 11 a.m. Mountain Time. I'm not in Mountain Time anymore. And Fridays, 2 p.m. Eastern, noon Mountain Time. And here's the number to call if you've got something on your mind. I do, and I'm going to tell you what that is in just a minute. The number is 888-627-6008. That number is 888-627-6008. So I still have a lot of interest in what is going on in my old home state, Colorado. It is amazing to be able to sit, to stay in, and to have adopted a new state of Texas and to watch what's going on in Colorado. It breaks my heart, which is why I left, but I've lived in a lot of places in my life. So, you know, I've lived in New York and LA and Florida. And so now I'm just on another coastal state. I'm not way on the coast, but so it's always an adventure. And luckily, I'm blessed to have a husband who's also very adventurous, having been a truck driver, among many other things. Now he trains truck drivers. And he's pretty adventurous, too. But to watch what's going on in Colorado and not to have to be under the thumb of the monopolistic power in Colorado is an interesting experience. I know I have still, and I'm glad, a lot of listeners and friends in Colorado, and so I get a lot of emails. And I got one recently from the Firearms Coalition of Colorado. And so what did they say? Well, they talked about a cluster of gun-grabbing, gun control bills that you just know are going to pass because there's not enough Republican opposition to stop them. So they pretty much, this one-party rule, one-party operation, whatever the leftist legislature in Colorado wants to pass, the governor will probably sign, or he'll feign that he is more conservative than they are and maybe veto one or two things. So everybody will say, see, we like Governor Polis because he's not as radical as the legislature. That's all orchestrated showboating, frankly. They're all in the same party. And Jared Polis hasn't done anything that hasn't been along the lines of every other leftist governor in this country, even before the coronavirus, but especially in the during the coronavirus, which effectively is over, but the left doesn't want to give over any power and control. That's what they used it for in the beginning. They ignored any information that didn't comport with their fear-mongering. They ignored anything that said, you know what, this virus, we thought it was bad, but it's nothing like what we thought it was. It's 99.86% non-lethal. So we're not going to keep masquerading as if, you get that? We're not going to keep masquerading as if it's the bubonic plague when it's not. No, we're going to keep using our minions in the media to scare people to death about what these masks are all about. We're going to scare the hell out of them is what we're going to do so that they will hand over their liberty without a fight. That seems to be what sadly has happened. We are seeing more fight back, but in leftist states, they've all behaved the same way. The left has effectively gotten rid of local control all over this country because Democrats march in lockstep with other Democrats. Early on, Jared Polis made a speech in which he said, we're going to have a compact or a coalition of other governors so we can put our heads together and see what the best thing is to do to protect our state. That was nonsense. They don't want to protect our state. They want to subjugate their state. And we're going to talk to the governors of California, Oregon, and the state of Washington so that we can put our heads together. Well, what a lie that was. They didn't have to have a coalition because somebody somewhere, we don't know who it is, was telling them exactly what to do and how to do it. And no matter how much information leaked out about the fact that masks don't work, no matter how much the Fauci said, nah, you don't need to wear masks. And then Polis said, I'm going to be the mask governor. I'm going to tell everybody, and I'm going to make it in fashion for you to put muzzles on your face. They were all marching in lockstep because not only does the left want to make you march in lockstep, they march in lockstep too. Collectivism requires more collectivism to keep going. So masks were the watershed moment. They always were, in which people who were elected to serve, to represent, who were supposed to be servants of the public, jumped the shark and they suddenly became our dictators, our tyrants, under the guise of what you will and won't do. You won't be able to exercise the five pillars of the First Amendment, that being freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom to petition your government for redress of grievances, freedom of the religion, and I think there's always one more I forget. You cannot, will not, you're not allowed to be a free citizen anymore because you see there's this virus. Anybody who believed for a minute that that was true when we found out that the virus was 99.86% non-lethal, and voila, nobody's dying of the flu anymore, and voila, a second time, it's the same people who were vulnerable and who have always died of the flu, sad, terrible, but the same population dies from the flu. But nobody died from the flu. They died from coronavirus. right? But you still have people running around terrified, scared to death because of this virus, thinking that this muzzle on their face is somehow going to protect them. Then they get really arrogant about it, and they start shaming everybody else who doesn't think as they do, which is part of the whole mission, to make sure that you jump on the bandwagon and you become enforcers for the government and do what they want you to do. How about that? We are going to be taking a break in a couple of minutes, but we have another segment coming up. I want to read for you something that is on my bulletin board, because when people found out that people were bending to masks that easily, no matter how ridiculous and stupid and unsafe and dangerous they were. But they did it anyway because they didn't want to get looked at askance. I was on another radio program this morning in which I said, I'm going to channel Joan Rivers here and say, oh, grow up. You're a grown adult, okay? Now, this is what I want to read to you in our couple of minutes before I have to take a break. Hint, hint, Dawn, right? Okay, so it's this. Did you know, and this is Turi Karpo, right? Turi Karpo, 2,300 years ago, long before Islam, Arabs discovered that forcing people to cover their nose and mouths broke their will and individuality and depersonalized them. It made them submissive. That's why they imposed on every woman in the mandatory use of a fabric over the face. Then Islam turned it into the woman's symbol of submission to Allah, the man owner of the harem and the king. Modern psychology explains it that without a face, we don't exist as independent beings. The child looks in the mirror between the ages of 2 and 3 and is discovered as an independent being. The mask is the beginning of deleting individuality. How about that? Did you notice that at the very beginning of this nonsense, we suddenly saw videos from China of hordes and hordes and hordes of people running around in masks? You don't see any videos of people in the communist Chinese country, of people there. But all of a sudden, Americans were being shown that people in China are wearing mandatory masks. Well, that made me suspicious. Because we don't see videos of people in China doing other things, but we sure did see that. That was in preparation to force all of us to put masks on and behave like Chinese communists. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is true. Did you notice that through the pandemic or the plandemic, that people in Chinese restaurants were more obedient than anybody else? Because they know the state has a jackboot, and they're going to try and bully and intimidate you into doing as they say. When people don't know their history, they will do almost anything, and there's a lot of people in this country that don't know their history. On that note, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I'm going to go back to the difference between Texas and Colorado, and what an education it is right now that, in fact, there are slave states and there are free states. And I'm pleased as punch to be living in a free state. Karen Cataline, I'm in the free state of broadcasting, spouting off from my very own home studio. Karen Cataline, this is Spouting Off on BBS Radio and K-Star Radio Network. I'll be right back after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air but you haven't been able to find the right words. Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. Karen Cataline back with you for another segment. Let's give the number again. It's 1-800. No. That's not it. I give out a lot of numbers these days. That's what I do, yes. Okay, it's 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 if you'd like to spout off today. What's been on my mind is, and I guess it's my motto for a lot of the things that I talk about, and that is everything is related to everything else. The clamping down on gun rights in Colorado is not unrelated, certainly, to the fact that in Texas, my new adopted home state, boy, when I got my Texas driver's license, I was so proud. It took 3 times to get a Texas driver's license. So anybody, if you're moving to Texas, first off, please, if you're a liberal, leave your politics at home. And second, bring everything, including your firstborn, because it's going to be hard to get a Texas driver's license. That being said, I'm very proud that I finally got it. It's almost like getting citizenship in a new country. But and in some ways, Texas feels like a new country, but it is America, and people are proud of their Texas heritage here, and I love every second of it. So now, while the leftist radical governor of Colorado is clamping down on gun rights in Colorado, things like, I mean, you just won't believe this, but maybe you will. Among the cluster of gun control laws that are going in, that there will not be enough Republicans to fight it. On my website, KarenCataline.com, under blog, the latest entry is guns, slave states, and free states. That's what I want to highlight here. In red, I actually give you some of the gun laws that they are putting out. And if you're not in Colorado, you can guarantee, that's what they say in Texas, you can guarantee that it's coming to your state if Democrats, liberals, leftists, socialists, and communists are in control, which is all under the guise of the Democrat Party right now. In red, get this, are you sitting down? I hope you're sitting down. Causing another person to be afraid could result in a 5-year ban on gun ownership. How about that? Anybody that is an enemy of yours, anybody who doesn't like you, could that happen today? I don't know. Anybody who doesn't like your politics, who decides that maybe they don't like the price you have on an item you're selling in your store. Maybe they just have it in for you because you're the brother-in-law of somebody they don't like. Maybe it's your ex-wife who has it in for you. All that person has to do is say, I'm afraid of that person. I'm afraid of Joe Blow. I'm afraid of that deplorable Trump voter. So you have to go and take away their guns for 5 years. Take away all of their guns, their right to defend themselves for 5 years. My question to you is, does the left want to disarm everybody? That's a rhetorical question. Yes, they do. Do they want to systematically take away your right, your law, your God-given right to defend yourself? Yes, they do. And they're going to start, and they're going to keep doing it under the guise of gun violence, gun violence, gun violence. But under the guise of gun violence, they keep letting out more violent felons out of prison. And they keep clamping down on the gun rights of the law-abiding citizens who want to protect themselves from those criminals. How does that work? I'll tell you how it works. They're doing it on purpose. I get so tired of hearing conservatives say, oh, the unintended consequences. They're not unintended at all. If you are opening the borders so that MS-13 gang members and people who have not been tested for the coronavirus, they have an entirely different standard than people, the citizens here, who understand what liberty is and have to be bullied, intimidated, and mask mandated, and vax passported. And yes, they are lying when they tell you there's not going to be a vax passport. There most certainly will be, and already is starting. How? They're going to use their woke corporations and businesses to stop people from shopping for groceries, just like they did with masks. They're going to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. Why? Because they want ultimate control over you. People who own guns to protect themselves and their families from criminals don't get subjugated easily. All right? That doesn't happen. It's the people who own guns, who exercise their God-given rights, their Second Amendment rights, that are a great threat to totalitarians. Totalitarians do not want to be disagreed with. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but I've got to say it because there are people who still, I guess, don't get it. Probably not listeners of mine. But hopefully, if you do agree, it's giving you some ammo. There's a pun for you. Some ammo to fight back and to say, do you know who wants to run for governor of Texas? Beto, of course I'm going to take away your guns, O'Rourke. He wants to run for governor of Texas. Do you think he'll be a governor like Jared Polis instead of a governor like Greg Abbott? You better believe he will be. And the goal is to turn Texas into Colorado, to turn Colorado into California and Texas into Colorado. What's the upside of all this? Well, what we have today are slave states and free states. Wherever, and there are some mealy-mouthed free states, people who are in control of states that Republicans are kind of weak, and that's why they had mask mandates at all, or they didn't lift the mask mandate in a reasonable amount of time, you know, which was after 2 weeks. Remember, 15 days to slow the curve. And then what? 14, 15 months later, people still running around with muzzles on their faces. The point is, I wrote a piece a little while back called There's a New Berlin Wall in America. And the Berlin Wall was probably the best test of capitalism versus communism. Of course, you had the Eastern Bloc countries and East Germany that had a wall to keep people in. And not to keep bad people out, but to keep their people in. Then you had West Germany, where people wanted to come, but they didn't want them to escape there. Because the worst thing a totalitarian wants is a servant, an escaped slave, who doesn't want to take orders from the totalitarian. He wants to escape. Now, this is the point I want to make about this, because I have made the Berlin case before. And that is, in free states like Texas, Florida, Idaho, and the like, Kentucky, New Hampshire's getting more free. In free states, we don't want to control what slave states do, really. We'd like to see them be more free, but we're not going to force them, okay? People in Texas who are living free, or freer, I should say, do not have designs on infiltrating Colorado and forcing freedom on Coloradans, on Californians. It's heartbreaking what has happened. You see the same stuff over and over again. You have tent cities in educational environments. You have filth and dirt. Whatever happened to the environmentalists left, you know, and cleaning up litter? Now they trash the streets and encourage people to poop on the street. You have more dangerous neighborhoods than ever with people shooting up drugs. They want to legalize. They want to coddle criminals. Why? Well, during coronavirus, they let all the criminals, were a whole bunch of criminals out of jail. So what you had were the people, you know, how stupid and ridiculous. We're worried about coronavirus, so we're going to let all the prisoners out of jail and roam the streets. We're worried about coronavirus, but we want law-abiding citizens to stay locked in their home like prisoners. I mean, was the irony, was the insult ever lost on people? Did people understand that we were the new prisoners and prisoners are now the new victims? Prisoners are being used as pawns to bully, intimidate, and scare law-abiding citizens into shutting up, sitting down, doing as they're told. Oh, and we want to make sure and keep you defenseless against these criminals, the government being among the most lawless, so that you won't do anything to stop us, right? We don't want you to stop us, so we're going to make sure that you're defenseless and can only do what we say. Oh, and remember, we took away your guns because we told you, well, all you got to do is trust the police. But now we're going to take away your police too. And we're going to put in brown shirts and jackbooted thugs who are no longer listening and no longer have taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and against enemies, foreign and domestic. You know, the chance that they may, you know, become a rogue cop and actually follow the law, we can't have that. So we're gonna get rid of the cops. We're gonna demean and diminish and demonize the cops so that we can federalize the police, and the police will now be our muscle end of the business and terrorize citizens to make sure they do what we say. Now, how come I know all this, and how come I'm saying that this could be? I didn't say it is. I said this is usually the trajectory of tyranny. Well, for number one, the left has gone about de-educating kids. So they don't know about socialism, communism, and tyranny. No, they are demonizing America. So people don't know that this has been done all around the world through history. Tyrants always take away the guns. Tyrants always demonize faith. Tyrants always attack the nuclear family. Always the same stuff. They attack men because men will be strong enough to potentially fight back. So if this is the trajectory, and I believe it is, they didn't create anything new under the sun. Anyway, I'd like to continue, but we have to take a break so we can get ready for our guest, Steve Turley. Can't wait to talk to him. He'll be up in just a moment. Don, are we about ready to take that break? great. Don says yes. So this is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio and K-Star Radio Network. We're going to be right back with our guest right after this. Stay tuned.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I love the term spouting off. It means saying what's on your mind without self-censoring. Now, yeah, you could be diplomatic, but you don't have to be censored, and that's part and parcel of what we're dealing with today. The last time I had this gentleman on, I was telling him off air, I had several people say, "Wow, you got Steve Turley? Man, that's great, Karen." I said, "Well, I'm glad you think so. He was great." And indeed he is. He has a PhD from Durham University. And let me find this here. Is an internationally recognized scholar, speaker, and a classical guitarist. Ooh, cool. Maybe he plays some Hinostera. Neato. He is the author of Awakening Wonder, A Classical Guide to Truth, Goodness, and Beauty. How cool is that? And also a book called The Ritualized Revelation of the Messianic Age. Welcome to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline, Steve Turley.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back, Karen. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I'm telling you, I love having you. This is great. And also you have a website called Turley Talks, right?
That's right. My last name, T-U-R-L-E-Y, talks.com. That's right.
Wonderful. So let's start with, because you are quite a prolific writer, Dr. Steve Turley, and talk about what's going on in the Middle East with, no, I'm sorry, that was a knee-jerk reaction because I've been talking about it all week. Not the Middle East. Maybe we should talk about that next. But let's move a little further west to Britain and what's going on with Tony Blair. There's some elections going on there. And you've written about this. What do you need us to know about this?
Yeah, this was fascinating. Tony Blair is the former prime minister, British prime minister, very successful and probably the most successful one of the last 30 years prior to their current one, Boris Johnson. He was prime minister for about 10 years of the Labour Party. The Labour Party is Britain's version of the Democrats. And he just wrote an article about a week ago or so, and you won't believe the title. The title's Progressive Left Faces Extinction. And,
yeah.
I mean,
wow.
You know, this wasn't mere hyperbole. I mean, he spent, I think if you read through the whole article, it'll take about a good 15 minutes. It is a very substantial article. And it is really it's an alarm to his fellow liberals that they've allowed progressive leftists, the woke left, to take over. And he actually makes a sustained argument that if they continue to allow them to take over, The political left is going to die. It's going to die in, it's already dying in Europe, and he believes it's going to eventually die here in the United States. So
I did an article
to flesh out his argument in just a few minutes, so you didn't have to go and tire through the 15 minutes of that article.
Right. Well, you know, people are just little tiny inklings, like Bill Maher is saying they're ridiculous, but that's the best news I've heard in a long time. So let's flesh this out a little bit. What is it that makes him think it's going to die here? And what can we do to hasten the death of these radical tyrants?
To accommodate that end, yes. Yeah, what can we do, right?
Yes.
Well, he's looking at a number of trends that have been going on. What sparked it for him, actually, was an election in the region of Hartlepool in England. Hartlepool's in the northeast. It's in Durham, the county of Durham. It's a you know, typical sort of white, blue-collar county, you know, Rust Belt and all that, something like we've seen in, Pennsylvania and Ohio and Iowa and the like. And they've been voting for Labor, their left-wing party, forever, for decades. And they had a special election there. Nobody thought anything of it. But it was a really pretty well-attended election, good turnout and the like. And all of a sudden, everyone's shocked, pundit and politician alike. The voters defected, and they voted in the Conservative by a 2-to-1 margin. It wasn't even close. It was huge. And when they looked at why, they found it was the same reason why the Conservatives won a landslide victory back in December of 2019, one of the biggest landslide victories in 100 years. What had happened is that white, blue-collar voters defected en masse away from the left and started voting for the right. It's the same thing that happened here in the United States. He points that out in 2016 and 2020. We're nearly 200 counties in Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, Minnesota, that have voted Democrat in every presidential election since 1984, since Walter Mondale, suddenly defected and voted en masse for Donald Trump. And what he found was that the woke politics of the left has scared off what was once the left's foundational demographic, which is, as they are called in Britain, Labor. The Labor Party has lost labor, the labor class, because the labor class, the white working class, believes that identity politics cares about every identity under the sun except them. And it was really interesting because in 2016, if you went to Hillary Clinton's website, you would see on her homepage a button for black issues, a button for Latino issues, a button for women's issues, a button for LGBT issues, but there was no button for white working class issues. And so that's what Blair is very concerned about. We're starting to see the base of the Democrat Party defect en masse over to the right. And he's rightly saying, in my view, there's no way the left can survive that.
So, Steve, I hate to be a wet blanket here on a Friday, but I have a feeling that there are a lot of listeners out there going, okay, that's all really fine and good, and that's really good, except for one problem. When you can succeed in stealing an election, as many people, including myself, believe happened in 2020, then these radicals cease to care what we think. They don't answer to the voters anymore. And, you know, they don't care what people think of them. And they have divorced themselves from needing to please the voters. So what do you suppose Tony Blair would say about, I don't know, about voter fraud and intimidation and all the rest of it there, but we saw that that's happening here in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, there's a lot of the nations there use the same systems, voting systems there as well.
Dominion.
Yeah. I mean, of course it's a concern. Of course it's an issue. Blair, I think, would argue it's not sustainable. It's something that's going to collapse. They can prolong it. They can push off the inevitable. But if all they're going to do is rely on voting, shall we call it,
irregularities.
Irregularity. There you go, term, Karen. Thank Steve. You. Voting. They're going to do is rely on voting irregularities, that's going to collapse in no time. If it fell apart in the Soviet Union, that was totally totalitarian, it'll fall apart here easily. We've got right now about 30 sanctuary states. So we've got 30 good, solid red states. A few more purplish states, and then the rest are blue. The blue states are losing populations left and right. They're losing representatives. I mean, it's amazing. It's an astonishing thing. Red states are growing by leaps and bounds. And we're just the last May, if you think about it. Think about all the electoral successes we had, you know, going all the way back to May 1st, those elections in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for their 6th district seat. That area has been trending blue. Trump only won it by 2 or 3 points in 2020. Democrats thought they were going to be able to flip that seat. They ended up getting shut out of the election. Democrats didn't even break 35% of the vote. 65% voted against the Democrats. You know,
they had that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Steve. Are you in Texas too?
No. I'm actually, I'm in Delaware. I'm 20 minutes away from Joe Biden's basement.
Oh, how interesting. The reason I say that is because every time I turn around, somebody else moved to Texas, including me. I moved from a slave state, Colorado, to a free state, Texas. And never has it been more obvious, has it? And I love that you're talking about this because I covered a little of this in my monologue right before you came. So you're 20 minutes from Joe Biden.
It is. It's the trend. It's the absolute trend, or even calling it the other trend is ex-urbanification. So we went through an urbanification in the 19th and 20th century when the cities were exploding in population. Now, because of the rise of the internet, ironically, and remote learning and remote working, people are just, they're moving anywhere they want. They don't want to be in these, you know, these disease-infested and riot-infested cities.
Yes.
So they're moving into the
yes,
exurbs, and they love it.
You can work in Manhattan, and you can have a condo in Florida, and you're still working for your company in Manhattan. I got it as an aside. I love redneck comedy. You know, this nice Jewish girl loves redneck comedy. And there was a guy who said, I live in the south part of the southern part of Florida, which is the north. Because the further you go south in Florida, the more north it gets. Until pretty soon, by the time you get to the bottom of Florida, you're in New York again. The northern part of Florida is closer to Georgia, and that's the south, the panhandle.
That's right.
I thought that was hilarious.
Very cute. The farther south you go, the more north you get. Yeah, the more urbanized, as it were. Right.
Yeah, and all, the more it looks like New York City. So we just hope, just like in Texas, that if they're going to move to these free states, they understand what made them move out of a slave state to begin with.
It seems that's what's happening, Karen. That I know that was a huge concern over the last few years. But my, when you look at how deeply red North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Texas have all become as of 2020 and continue to do so even after that with some of these special elections. Ron DeSantis said the other day, I think it was on the Hannity show, that he has some data that shows that the transplants or the they're calling them immigrants, I-N, as in Nancy, immigrants. Are actually coming on into these red states from blue states, and they are registering Republican. Republican rolls are growing by leaps and bounds.
Oh, Steve, I've got a piece out of the Epic Times that says that very thing by Roger Simon. DeSantis, people moving to Florida overwhelmingly registering as Republicans, including Democrats.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
That? Yeah, it is wonderful. And, you know, for a Friday after doing radio all week, I couldn't ask for a more good news. I couldn't ask for something that is good news to think about during this Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you hold on? And we have to take a quick break. We're with Steve Turley, always a crowd favorite. Everybody loves when I have Steve Turley on. So hold on, and we'll have one more segment when we come back. Thanks for joining us. We have another segment of Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. I'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Karen Cataline, we are back on Spouting Off, and we're talking to the wonderful Dr. Steve Turley, prolific, does a lot of broadcasting and radio, and off the air, he was telling me about how he was in Lancaster. You can't say Lancaster, I guess. You got to say Lancaster. Tell us about that event.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah, this was just last night, and I spoke to Free Pennsylvania. Free Pennsylvania is an organization that has several chapters throughout the state of Pennsylvania. If your listeners may know, they did a referendum. Oh, what was it? Just a week ago, if I believe. Where they became the very first state in the union where the people rose up and voted to strip their ultra-liberal governor of his emergency powers and end the lockdown. This is the organization that organized that vote. They are absolutely on fire. They were so optimistic last night. They were so pumped. They were so excited. The room was filled. We were at a restaurant a very, very large dining room area that was able to fit about 300-400 people or so. It was overflow. I think they must have had 500 or 600 people show up. It was so exciting, and it was an absolute honor to be there with them.
That is so neat. We have 5-6 minutes. I don't know what it is. My producer will tell me. I think, again, for a Friday afternoon, you seem to be full of good news. And talk to fellow conservatives who really do get it. We're always talking about the people that don't get it. But for the people who really get that this is a momentous time in history that in which we happen to be alive, in which America is under attack, and I talk about it all the time, give us, if you can, your best speech about what we can continue to do to make as you say on your website, I'm here on your website, turleytalks.com, a new conservative age is rising. How can we hasten that? And what is it that we can feel positive and optimistic about that this is really happening when all we ever see is horrible news by these evil people that want to take over our lives?
Well, I think in many ways, Tony Blair said it. Tony Blair recognized that there are fads and then there are eternal values. And the fads are Marxism. The fads are big government. The fads are totalitarianism. But the eternal values that define our humanity, that make us who we truly are, and that inspire generation after generation after generation for several millennia, are faith, family, and freedom. Nothing compares to those things. It's a Braveheart thing. You know, there's no way around it. It's freedom. We are free men, and we've come to fight for freedom and defend our freedom. And no matter what our enemies may do, no matter what they take away from us, they will never, ever take away our freedom. Or think of Frodo, when he was despairing with Sam at the end of the Two Towers and the Lord of the Rings series. And Frodo just says, "What's keeping us going, Sam? How do we keep doing it?" And Sam looks at him and says, "Because, Mr. Frodo, there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for." Mm. Nothing awakens the human soul like that. And what Tony Blair recognized is that the timeless values of faith, family, and freedom are making a comeback once again. And the left is being caught completely wrong-footed by being embarrassed by those values.
They are embarrassing.
They are, in fact. And so instead, they're embracing fads. They're embracing a now defunct political philosophy of the 19th century, and they're embracing, you know, big taxes, big regulation, big government. And Blair is saying those are two of the most unpopular things anyone could ever embrace. So, yeah, they've got their power now, but Blair said, give it enough time, it's going to collapse. You can't look, the former Soviet Union, 70 years of atheistic communism, fell apart on Christmas Day, 1991. There were only 6,000 churches left from the height of Tsarist Orthodox Russia from back in 1917. Today, if they keep going the same pace they're going, by 2030, they'll have over 60,000 churches.
Wow.
Haredi Jews in Israel are expected to make over 50% of the Israeli population by 2050.
Steve, that's great. I wish I could go on, have you go on another half hour, but we have to wrap the show up. Oh, that is such good news. I will just say this. I have confidence that these evil people will not prevail, but also, being Jewish, know that they can do tremendous damage before they are defeated.
Absolutely.
We have to be vigilant. Thank you so much. You're always such a star when you come on. Dr. Steve Turley, turleytalks.com. Read his stuff. Watch his videos. A lot of my friends do. And that's why they knew who you were when I had you on the last time. So thanks. And hopefully we'll have the pleasure of having you on again soon.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
God bless
thanks
you.
For you. God bless you, too. And I'm going to get ready for Shabbos and have a Memorial Day weekend. And thank you to our brave men and women who gave the last full measure for our liberty. And it's our turn to stand up for liberty. Thank you to Don for filling in for Doug today. And thank you to BBS Radio in general. And even though nobody understands it, thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for more Spouting Off, because there's always a lot to spout off about here on Spouting Off.